Thank you so much for joining us on the LifePoint Church podcast. If you would like to hear more from LifePoint, we encourage you to download the LifePoint app where you can watch sermons, take notes, and follow along in the Bible. If God is using this ministry to impact your life, we would love to hear about it at lifepoint.org/story. Again, thanks for joining us. We hope you are encouraged by today's message.
Hey, welcome to week number one of When God Speaks. You know, one of the most frequent questions I get is, how do I know if God's talking to me? How do I know His will? I want to know what He wants me to do, but how do I know if He's speaking to me? And here's what we're going to discover in this series. Number one is that God is speaking. That God is speaking and He's speaking all the time. That He wants this relationship with us, to know us, and He wants to talk to us, to give us direction and purpose. And I don't know about you, but I need to hear the voice of God in my parenting. I need to hear the voice of God in my leadership. I need to hear the voice of God in leading ministry. I need to hear the voice of God in so many areas of my life. And I want the same thing for you. And so today I'm so excited to kick off this series. And I want to challenge you to make it a point to plug in for all 4 weeks of this series. I know some of you will be taking vacation and you'll get much needed rest. But even on vacation, open the app, get online, and engage and be a part of this series. I think it's going to really help you in a powerful way. And today we're kicking off the series with one of our very own today. Becca Rowe is going to be bringing the word today. She's the Executive Director of Ministries here at LifePoint Church, which means that she oversees all the ministries that happen on every campus, resourcing, influencing, giving strategy, direction, and helping coach along the leaders. And she's been with us since day one, her and her husband, Willie, and just a dynamic couple, in love with Jesus, in love with the house. And she's a powerhouse. I love working with her. I'm thankful to God that she's on the team. And I just tell you, the kingdom is better because of her leadership and because of the gift that she is to our church and our house. So at every campus, I want you to get up on your feet. We're going to give honor where honor's due and put your hands together and welcome Miss Becca Rowe to the LifePoint stage. Come on, church.
Thank you so much. As Pastor mentioned, my husband's name is Willie. We've actually been married 13 years as well, so we've been a part of the church since the very first Sunday 13 years ago, and we decided to do a bunch of stuff at once, so we were part of a church plant, and we got married all in the same season. We have two beautiful children together. Our son Harlan is 6 years old, and if joy could be personified, that is my son. He's joy all wrapped up, and if you see a little guy bebopping around the foyer, it's probably him. And we have a daughter, Clara, who is 16 months old, and she is fiery, even at this age. I think the terrible twos may come a little bit early because she understands that she's an independent creature already. So they're both the joys of our lives, and it is our great honor and privilege to be a part of this team and this amazing thing that God's doing here in this house. So that's a little bit about our family, and I just want to take a moment to welcome the rest of our LifePoint family. As you may know, we are one church meeting in many locations, so would you join me in welcoming all of our campuses, everyone joining us online? So thrilled that you're here with us today. And as Pastor mentioned, we're kicking off a brand new series called When God Speaks. And today is really going to be about laying the foundation for the rest of this series. And I've got to tell you, I am super pumped for this series because I think a lot of people miss a very extraordinary truth. And that is that not only is God still speaking, but He has something that He wants to say to you personally. And I think that's just an amazing fact. And so make it a point to be in the house every day for all the days of this series. And if you've got vacation, you travel, make sure to join online because this series really does have the power to transform some things in your life. And we don't want you to miss a week of it. Well, I thought I would open up today by telling you a little bit of a funny story of our family. And just as a disclaimer, I do have my mom's permission to tell this story. So honor your mama. So to give you some context, my mom can't see well at night. And she also happens to be one of the kind of people that doesn't really enjoy driving. You know, there's two kinds of people. People who find a lot of pleasure in driving and the people who see the necessity to get from point A to point B. My mom's kind of on the necessity end of the spectrum, so that's important context. She and my sister Laura and I had taken a trip and we were on our way back home, and it was the evening, so my sister was driving, my mom was in the passenger seat, I was in the back seat. Side note, I have a little bit of control issues, so it was already difficult for me to be in the back seat and not be the driver, but we're driving along this country road, it's dark, and all of a sudden, my mom makes a noise that I think only moms can make in this way. And it's the noise that removed all the oxygen from the cab of the car, something like this. Anybody know the noise I'm talking about, right? And so my sister slowed down. We're like, Mom, what's up? She's like, it's a deer. So we look around, and we don't see a deer, but it's a dark country road. So we're like, okay, we'll keep our eyes peeled. And we'd only gone a little bit farther before my mom makes that noise again, but then she starts to pump the imaginary brake on the passenger side and does that mom thing where you fling the arm out to keep all of humanity from going through the windshield. And so at this point, my sister comes to like almost a complete stop. And we're like, Mom, what is it? And she's like, it's a deer. And we're like, we're looking around, we don't see it. And all of a sudden, I have this epiphany. I'm like, Mom, are you talking about that thing right there? And she's like, yes. I'm like, Ma, that's a mailbox. And so what we realized was happening was because my mom can't see at night, every time the headlights reflected off a mailbox on this country road, she thought she was seeing deer's eyes and was like very panicked. And so we're kind of a teasing family. So every opportunity that we pass the mailbox now, we're like, look, Mom, deer. So anyway, why am I telling you this? Here's the point, that it's really important how we perceive and how we see things. If we see something wrong, then what we think about and therefore our decisions and our reactions will all be wrong. Yeah. And so this is very important as today we lay the foundation for the rest of the series, that how you perceive and see God and how you perceive that He sees you is incredibly important for this series. And so we want to lay that foundation and make sure that we have the right perspective on who God is. You know, it could be that you view God as someone who is very distant. And I want to start with, I think there are three ways that maybe we think that God isn't speaking today. Because I'm not sure that everybody in the room is convinced that God is still speaking. And maybe if you think He is speaking, you would say, well, I don't know that He's really speaking to me. Like, I feel like some of you think that God's giving you the silent treatment. You haven't heard from Him for a while. And I think there are three main reasons why we think that God isn't speaking today. And that first one is that we see God as distant. We see God as distant and far removed. And maybe that's you today. You don't think that He cares about the details of your life. Or maybe you're in the room and you see God as kind of a nameless, faceless, cosmic force. Or maybe you're like I was, and you see God as righteous judge, up on a high throne, coldly judging the world, but not someone that you would ever want to approach. But I want to offer a different perspective today, and that is that the truth may be that you feel very far from God. And I understand that. I felt that way too. But the truth is that God isn't far and distant. In fact, the opposite is true. He's not far from us. And I want to offer you that different perspective today. God is supreme. He is above all and before all. He is creator of the universe. That is true. But equally true is that God deeply desires to have relationship with you. In fact, He wants to have friendship with you. And for some of you, that may be a major shift in perspective of how you view God and how you think God views you. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Matthew 1:23, referring to Jesus, says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the very name of Christ is this message that God wants to be with us. You see, the Bible from cover to cover is all about God pursuing relationship with us. You know, God loves you. And when someone loves you, their desire is not to be far from you. You know, I think sometimes we say that God loves you, or we hear God loves you, and we kind of just gloss over that, and we don't take a moment to really ponder the depth of what that means. Because the truth is, God has been pursuing you. Not just humanity in general, but all the yous individually. You and you, and you at Spotsy, and you, all the yous. God has been pursuing you, and he wants relationship with you, personally. The thing is, though, God's a gentleman, and he's not going to force himself on you. And so it's important that we understand his posture is to be in relationship with us. But hear me, if God feels distant to you, that is your perception of him. That's not his perception of you. And there's a great example of this in a story found in Luke 15. It's a parable that Jesus told, and a parable is just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so Jesus goes to tell this story, and it goes something like this. And you may have heard it, if you've been around church at all, about the prodigal son. So there's this rich guy, and he has two sons. And the younger son comes to him one day and says, "Hey, Dad, I would like all of my inheritance now." Now, in that time, in that culture, that was tantamount to the younger son saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead." Now, as a mama, I cannot imagine either one of my kids coming and telling me, "I wish you were dead." This had to be devastating for the father. But he gives him the inheritance, and the young son goes off and begins wild living. Like, he is just really partying it up, and not surprisingly, he blows through all of the money, and he finds himself very destitute, down and out. And in fact, he finds himself feeding pigs. Now, in Jewish culture, this is rock bottom. They consider pigs to be unclean, and so he's at the lowest of the lows. And as he's in that situation, he finds himself very hungry and starting to desire the pig slop. He wants to eat the pig food. That's how low he sunk. And he has this thought to himself. He said, "You know, my dad really takes very good care of his servants. He's an honorable guy. He takes care of them. And everything that's happened between us, I know that I'll never be taken back in as his son. But maybe I can go and get a place back in his house as a servant, because that is still would be way better than where I am now." And then we pick up in verse 20, and this is a beautiful verse, and I want to read it to you. It says, "But while he," referring to the son, "was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." I want you to notice a very important detail here. The father had absolutely no way of knowing that the son was coming. This, like, before cell phones, before text messaging, he didn't know the son was coming. The implication being that every day that father stood watching, waiting, hoping, praying that his son would come home. And the story goes on to say that even though everything had happened between the two of them, that the father not only threw his arms around his son, but he put a robe around him and put a ring on his finger to signify that he wasn't taking him back as a servant. He was taking him back as a son. He was restoring his sonship. Can I tell you, this father longed to be back in relationship with his son. And can I tell you something else? That is exactly God's posture towards you. He longs to be in relationship with you. He is not distant and far off and coldly looking down on you. He is standing, ready, waiting, wanting to have relationship with you. The second reason I think that we believe that God isn't speaking today is we believe that's the past. Some of us think what happened in biblical times isn't for today. So God spoke to people back then, but he doesn't really speak to people now. Well, the only problem with that perspective is it overlooks what Hebrews tells us, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3 says, "I, the Lord, do not change." To give you a big 10-cent word, this is called the immutability of God. God cannot change because God is perfect in all of his ways. God has spoken to people throughout history, And his desire is to speak to you today. And he's still speaking to people today. I happen to know that personally because I don't have a day that goes by that I don't have a conversation with God. And that is what he wants with you. It's not something for another time, another group of people, some elite form of Christian that has a special phone to God. It's for every person under the sound of my voice. God wants to speak with you, and it's for today. The third reason that we believe that God isn't speaking is we have misplaced expectations. We have misplaced expectations. We have expectations of how God should speak. And when those preconceived ideas aren't met, we come to the conclusion that he just doesn't speak today, or he's just not speaking to us. And again, we start to feel like God's giving us the silent treatment. Maybe you can relate with what I'm about to share, but has anyone ever played the ultimatum game with God? You know what I'm talking about? Where you propose some ridiculous sign as confirmation that you've heard from God and that you're on the right track. Everybody, King George is with me. I know. So maybe it's something like this. God, if we should buy this house, send a snowstorm in June, and then you wake up and it's hot and the sun is shining. And so you kind of like peer into the clouds hoping for some rain because, hey, precipitation's precipitation. And a few raindrops and we're good to go. Anybody ever played that game with God? I know I have. The problem with that is misplaced expectations can lead us to conclude that God is silent when he's not silent. Instead, it's a fact that we need to just reframe our expectations and know how to meet him while he's talking. And this is why it's really important for you to stay for the whole series, is because in the coming weeks, we're going to talk to you about how God speaks. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a very important message. But I think for today, the question really isn't if God is speaking. The question is, do we have ears to hear him? In Mark 4:23, Jesus says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." Now, Jesus here wasn't talking about physical healing, hearing. He wasn't talking about physical hearing. He was talking about a posture of hearing that translates to understanding. Does that make sense? This made me think of a story from my own life. So my dad has gone to be with the Lord, but he had a very distinct way of talking, a very distinct tone of voice and rhythm of voice. It was very low. I've heard other people describe it as sort of a mumble. Now, I never had the first problem understanding my dad, but I grew up in the house with my father. I had heard my father's voice my whole life. My ears were tuned to my daddy's voice, and so I never had any problem understanding him, but I had a lot of friends who struggled. And I can remember one specific time my friend Katie had come over, and my dad got home from work and did what he normally did, which was come in and ask how our day was. And he turned to Katie and asked her a question. And all of a sudden, I see this like panicked, sort of perplexed look take over her face. And I realize she has no idea what my dad is saying. So she goes, "I'm sorry, Mr. Trigg, I didn't hear you." So my dad repeated his question a little louder. Well, Katie looked even more panicked because increased volume did not help her understand. And I'm realizing she is really in a pickle. So I turn to my dad and I say, "Yes, Daddy, we would love a snack." And my dad went to get us a snack. And what occurred to me is that it wasn't that Katie had a physical hearing problem. It's that she did not have ears to hear my father. See, Katie wasn't in the same relationship with my dad that I was. Katie did not grow up in our home, listening to his voice, getting attuned to his voice. And so my dad's speaking didn't translate to understanding because she did not have ears to hear my father. And I did because I was in relationship with him. And this made me think of a story in the Bible can be found in John chapter 10. That kind of illustrates this point, and the scripture will be up on the screen for you. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to pull out a couple points of application, and then we'll wrap up for the day, okay? So let's read this together. We're going to start in verse 2. This is Jesus talking, and he said, "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, skipping down to verse 11, Jesus continues, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and it scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I love this part. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. If we jump back up to verses 12 and 13, this describes a transactional association. A hired hand has no real connection or relationship with the sheep. So when the danger comes, when the wolf comes, he cuts and runs. But if we go back to verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. When danger comes, I don't run. I'm willing to lay my life down for the sheep. Here's the first point of application that I want you to write down this morning. We need to realize the relationship. Realize the relationship. The transactional association of the hired hand found in verse 12, this is a picture of religion. Religion will cause you to feel like you are spiritually deaf. This is why you can do a lot of religious activity and feel very, very far from God. It's why you can check off all the boxes and still feel disconnected from him, still feel like you cannot hear from him. It's because religion puts a wall up between us and God. And that is not how God wants to connect with you. In fact, he sent Jesus Christ to tear that wall down so that we could have relationship with him. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus laid his life down for you, friend. And just in the story that we talked about earlier of the prodigal son, religion would have taken the son back as a servant. He'd broken the rules, had to be consequences, but it was relationship that took him back as a son. And you need to know this morning that God's desire is not to connect with you through religious activity. God's desire is to connect with you as a friend. And that's something to be excited about today. God wants a friendship with you. He wants the transparency and the vulnerability and the intimacy that comes in the context of a close and loving friendship. That's how the God of the universe wants to connect with you today. So first, we need to realize the relationship. Number two is we need to develop trust over time. We need to develop trust over time. Jesus said the sheep follow because they know his voice. And he said that they wouldn't follow a stranger because they don't recognize his voice. Implied in this is trust. It is time and proximity that develops trust. Is that not true? If you think of all of your human relationships, the longer that you walk with someone and the closer you are to them, the deeper trust goes. Is that true? And the same is true in our relationship with God. Time and proximity will develop trust. And as that trust is developed, you're going to more quickly recognize God's voice. Above the distractions, above the fray, above everything that competes for our time and for our energy, you'll be able to recognize his voice. You'll be able to distinguish his voice from that of the enemy. The reason why I could understand my father and Katie couldn't wasn't that there was something wrong with Katie. Wasn't that there was something wrong with the way that my father spoke. It was a lack of time and proximity. She had not grown up in our house and had a runway of time with my dad. But because I had ears to hear. And so it's very important that we develop trust over time, because as you walk with God, as you draw near to him, he will draw near to you, and you will develop ears to hear him. It also will build confidence in you. Because how many times do we think maybe we heard God, but we're not sure? Has anybody ever been in that place where you're like, did I hear God, or was that pizza last night? Like, I don't know. And we can get frustrated in that. And usually that is an indication that we have not had time and proximity in his presence. The more that you spend time with him, close to him, in relationship with him, in the context in which he wants it with you, that as a close friend, you will develop ears to hear him. And then that will build in you confidence that you have heard from him and won't leave you second guessing whether or not he's silent in your life, because God is speaking. He is speaking, and he wants to speak to you, and he wants relationship with you. And this is so important that we understand these two truths today. For the rest of the series to have power to transform your life, you have to realize the relationship. You have to understand the way in which God sees you and the context in which he wants to connect with you. He doesn't want to be, he is high and lifted up in his position, but he stepped out of heaven into humanity in the form of Jesus so that he could have relationship with you, to restore your sonship, your daughtership. That is the way he wants to connect with you. And the second thing that we have to understand as a part of the foundation for this series is that we need to develop trust over time. And we control that. If God feels distant, it's not because he moved. If we go back to that story of the prodigal son, the father didn't go anywhere, right? It was the son who left, and the father stood waiting, wanting him to come back. And so we have a choice to make on whether or not we're going to develop trust and develop ears to hear. And that happens through time, through proximity, through intentionality in developing trust with our Father. You know, I'm not sure the perspective that you had when you walked into here today about who God is and how he sees you. Some of you may have been told a lot of ridiculous things. And I don't make light of that, because we carry sometimes the words people have spoken over us. Maybe someone told you that God is sitting on high and wants to judge you. Maybe someone's told you that you don't measure up. Maybe someone told you that the things of your past you can never be free of. Listen to me. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. There's nothing that you could do that would ever separate you from the love of the Father. Nothing. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And it's so important to hear from him, because we got one life to live, right? But none of it will matter if you don't get this foundational stuff right. And for some of you, you need to shift that perspective. For some of you, you're driving down dark roads and you think it's deer and it's just a mailbox, right? And so we have to get these things rooted in our heart. We have to realize the relationship. We have to develop trust over time. God not only is still speaking today, but he is speaking to you. And he's speaking to you because he wants to call you friend. The creator of the universe, almighty, all-powerful, majestic God, who scripture says hold all things together in his hands, he wants to be your friend. And maybe that's news to someone today, but I think that's very good news. And I think that in itself is a fact and reason enough to incline your ear to listen. Would you pray with me? God, I know you're moving in this place. Holy Spirit, we feel your presence. And I know you're stirring in the hearts of people. We just ask that you would minister to them in this moment. For some of you, you're realizing that you do want a relationship with God. You feel far from him. But he's awakening you to the fact that it's not because he moved. And that he wants you to draw near to him so that he can draw near to you. You've never placed your faith in Jesus. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The Apostle Peter said of Jesus in Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Scripture tells us that all people have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And sin is just an archery term that means to miss the mark. This means that all people, all of us, live below God's perfect standard. But this is a problem for us because Scripture says that the payment, the wage for sin is death. But the really good news today is that Jesus paid that price so that we wouldn't have to. The Good Shepherd did lay down his life over 2,000 years ago so that today we could all be fully alive in him. Romans 10:9 tells us, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So with every head bowed, with every eye closed, and I would ask that CPs make their way to the platform. If today you feel far from God, but you want today to begin a relationship with Jesus and place your faith in him, I want you to shoot your hand up. I see you. I see you. You can put them down. I want to lead you in a prayer, and there's nothing magical about this prayer, but if you mean it from your heart to God's heart, you shall be saved. And I'm going to ask everyone to pray this out loud for the benefit of those who are praying it for the very first time. Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Thank you for making a way for me where I couldn't make one for myself. I believe you died on the cross for me and that God raised you from the dead. I turn from my old life. Make me new and be the Lord of my life today and forever. Amen. Can we celebrate everything that God did today?